Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
That is the sound that viewers heard coming from their television screens on PBS 50 years ago this week. The genre of the theme song has changed over the years, but the sunny days have kept sweeping the clouds away for children and many adults on Sesame Street for half a century now. Joining us to talk about the history of the show a little bit and why it has endured for the past 50 years, and to take your phone calls with meaningful Sesame Street moments in your life, is the current executive producer for Sesame Street, Ben Lehman. Ben, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. Happy to be here.
And Leslie Carrera-Rudolph. She is the performer of Abby Cadabby, Sesame Street's pink 4-year-old fairy godchild. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having us, Brian. This is exciting.
And listeners, we want to hear from you about what Sesame Street has meant to you or your children through the years, for you as a child or for you as a parent. Tell us a story. We want to hear from you about what Sesame Street has meant to you or to your children. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Ben, 50 years. Why has it lasted so long?
Well, I would say first and foremost, the Muppets, the characters, Abby, for example, Elmo, Cookie Monster, Grover, they're timeless. Kids relate to them. They love them. They see themselves in them. They're clearly defined. And then, you know, the foundational idea of the show, which was, can we use television as a medium to educate kids? And we've been true to that mission all along. We don't talk down to kids. We elevate them. We try to give them a leg up. And I think kids feel that. They're entertained and they get something from it.
I think some older fans, at least I've read this, who watched in the 70s and 80s, have expressed some disappointment with the rise of the Muppet characters. Like even including Elmo. Can you explain how Muppets became a permanent fixture on Sesame Street? And if there's ever been any internal conversation that you know of that reflects what I just said?
I mean, I think from the pilot on, the story I've heard is they were going to use the Muppets as just, you know, kind of interstitials or use them to teach the alphabet as little moments. And kids immediately reacted to the characters and just realized that's who we love. So the show evolves with the times. You know, the media landscape is different than it was in the 70s or 80s. The show's 30 minutes instead of an hour. We try to tell longer narratives because we know kids can take on longer stories. So the show has evolved with the times.
Here's a little of Leslie performing Abby, 19 seconds.
Okay, you're going to love this one. Okay, how do I fix a broken jack-o'-lantern in my garden? How do I do it? How? With a pumpkin patch! A pumpkin patch!
So.
Well, she thinks she's hilarious.
She does, doesn't she? And you've been voicing and puppeteering Abby since she was introduced in 2006. What does that character mean to you?
Oh, wow. A lot. Well, first of all, I want to, you know, engage with the history of Sesame Street because I grew up with it. And for me, I connected on a character level because when kids learn differently and we all have a unique journey and are going through different things. And so when you watch Sesame Street, you know, you see so many visuals. You see there's so much art on it. And we tell stories with animation. We tell stories with people that are part of our community. And for me growing up, I have a very vivid imagination and I learn visually and I have different ways of learning. So when I saw the characters, I would connect to them because in a creative way. And when Abby was introduced and we actually, there was a big, you know, search for her, I connected in a way that that she is inspired by the world. And she is, like, sometimes I'll say she has her own take on it, like Gracie Allen meets Daffy Duck with a little Barney Fife, and she's fearless. And so...
Very 50s and 60s.
I mean, she's just... Basically, she's like a puppy. Like, she loves to play with you. She will champion you. And she's a fierce friend to any creature at all. Like, she loves science, she loves nature. So for me, it was an opportunity to share my enthusiasm and heart for humanity and interact with these characters that I grew up with.
Let me take two callers who I think are going to contrast, and these are just coming in. This is just from what I'm seeing on my board. Sort of how basic an impact Sesame Street can have and how profound. So Max in Brooklyn, hang on. We're going to get to you second. Here's Waldo. And where's Waldo? Elizabeth. Hi, Waldo and Elizabeth.
Yes, how are you? Thank you for having me, guys.
Sure. So you have a story.
Because I was telling the operator how easy it was for my daughter to do certain functions. This is the smallest one. She had a little bit of a learning problem in the beginning, but since day one, you know, Sesame Street has been a great part of our lives with the letters and the numbers. And just having training her to go potty was a little bit difficult, and we couldn't figure it out until one day I stumbled upon Elmo's potty time. And from there, you know, we put the video on and for her basically every morning when she was getting dressed and everything for us to drop her off at the babysitter. And it was, she is very visual, very, you know, everything. She absorbs everything very quickly from Elmo.
And it
was extremely easy.
Thank you so much, Waldo. Okay, so it's as basic as Elmo helped my daughter learn to go potty. Two, Max in Brooklyn. Max, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Hi. So I am almost exactly the right age to have remembered the way that Sesame Street handled the death of Mr. Hooper when I was a young child. I'm a little bit old on that line. But a lot of I'm a parent, and a lot of my peers are a little bit younger than me. And, you know, in my community, I'll be vague about this, there was a recent death, and people, as far as I understand it, are actually, you know, to explain to their children, are actually looking back on YouTube to the Mr. Hooper episode, because Sesame Street was militant about not insulting children's intelligence. And also, as I understand it, they have child psychiatrists on staff that actually, you know, were vetting things and at the time. And, you know, that has been extremely helpful, I think, just to society on a broad level, and also just not insulting children's intelligence on other levels. Mm-hmm. The music on Sesame Street mm-hmm. is so much more complicated than, say, Raffi. So I guess mm-hmm. what I appreciate is that Sesame Street has gone out of its way to really understand how smart children really are and to treat them with respect and to help them.
It's a wonderful testimonial, Max. Thank you so much. And so now, Leslie, we've heard, you know, everything just in two calls, from helping teach a kid to go potty to helping a little kid deal with death.
Yeah. Well, I want to speak to, thank you for sharing that story, Max, and thank you for sharing your story about the potty training. I think that's what it's the authenticity. We do so much outreach, and I personally got to play a character, Jesse, when we were helping kids. It was part of our military outreach, deal with loss. And I experienced a loss in our family, and we didn't have the tools to deal with it. And so I came from a place of loss. I'd lost my brother when I was 11. And Jesse was, and we were dealing with kids, and they were connecting to us so they didn't feel alone. So a lot of times we will mix, you know, a Muppet story with other kids going through things. And so we feel that you're connecting, you're not alone. It's also a way to watch with your kids so you can begin the conversation. So and it's a heart level that.
And of course, being public broadcasting, Ben, you know, the show did have mission from the beginning. And then some of the additions. In 2013, the show came out with a Muppet named Alex, whose father's in jail. Mm-hmm. In 2017, there was a Muppet named Julia who appeared, and she was on the autism spectrum. Mm-hmm. An Afghan girl Muppet was introduced also in 2017. This year, a newly introduced Muppet via Sesame Workshop named Carly is in foster care because her mom battles drug addiction. So this has obviously been a central mission of the show to kind of keep adding characters that reflect issues of the times that people have to deal with.
Yes, correct. I mean, Sesame Street and Sesame Workshop as an organization are research-driven, and it's always been the mission of the show to identify current needs in kids' lives and try to address them. And I think the Mr. Hooper episode is the perfect example, because I think most TV shows would take the death of an actor and say, okay, well, you know, he went upstairs and then next season we'll just pretend he never comes back. But the developmental experts on staff, we do have a curriculum team on staff, decided let's tackle it head on and address it. And, you know, the stories from the cast members who were in that is that it was incredibly emotional because this actor had passed. He was their friend. They had to do it in one take because no one could stand to do more than that. Mm. And they told it from Big Bird's point of view. He wants to give a drawing to Mr. Hooper. Susan tells him, Mr. Hooper's gone. And he says, oh, that's okay. I'll give it to him when he comes back. But no, Sonia has to explain further, Maria, he's not coming back. And it's just a very touching episode. And that is the work that Sesame Workshop tries to do through initiatives like See Amazing in All Kids, which is about, you know, the autism spectrum and giving tools to parents and kids and caregivers to help them, all the way to Carly, who's, you know, the most recent, the kid who is in foster care.
Erica in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Erica.
Hello. I want to say that I remember as a child rushing home from school in the Caribbean to watch Sesame Street. It was a big deal for me as a child. And now my daughter is a fan. We go to Sesame Place. We are like totally immersed in it because it's such a relevant part of children's life. And I want to say thank you so much for 50 years, Sesame Street.
Erica, thank you so much.
Thank you, Erica. Hug your daughter, Erica. For us. Give her fairy wings.
And it's not every day we get a call from Zambia, but here's Masole in Zambia. Hi, Masole. Hello from New York.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. You listen in Zambia?
Yes, I listen in Zambia. So I used to live in, I'm actually from New Jersey. Born in Zambia, but live in New Jersey. But I'm traveling and working here for now until I return next year. But I'm always keeping up with the show via the app.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I was just calling to just share what everybody else's sentiment that's called in, that Sesame Street has really shaped us growing up. Like, my siblings and I would rush home from school just so we could catch an episode of Sesame Street because we felt that there's always characters or situations that we could relate to that perhaps we couldn't find in amongst our peers. There's always something to learn. There's always something that we could glean from each episode and how to deal with daily situations. And that, I think, is very powerful. It's something that you don't find in any other show, really.
Masole, thanks for continuing to listen while you're many miles away, and thanks for checking in on Sesame Street. Ben, there was an article that made the rounds this month, and we had the author elsewhere on the station, about the black roots of Sesame Street, the brownstone in Harlem, and that was part of the original mission of the show in the 1960s when, you know, it grew somewhat out of LBJ's Great Society programs,
yes,
as did public radio and television, which were created themselves at that time. Can you talk about that at all?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the show premiered in 1969. LBJ has launched his War on Poverty. And our founders, Joan Ganz Cooney and Lloyd Morissette, had started their study in 1966 to explore whether TV could be used as an educational medium. And the genesis of the show was to set it in an urban environment to help disadvantaged kids specifically. So, you know, the set designers looked at the Bronx, they looked at Harlem, they obviously designed a set that was like an urban environment. And then, groundbreaking, we had a completely diverse cast from the very first episode with, you know, strong black male character in Gordon Maria joining the show a couple of years later. So yes, that was foundational.
And Leslie, you get the last question because I know you travel with your character, Abby Cadabby, in the off seasons. You visit preschools, museums, things like that. What's it like when kids meet Abby out in the world?
Oh, this is what I love best about our job, is that we live off the page. I say that, you know, you can see, you know the, you know, animation can't really reach kids the way we can. Like when they see us on TV and then they see us in person, we get all kinds of different reactions. I feel like I'm soul hugged, you know, so when they hug you, you can feel a child's belief and love going into you, and it's really an honor. So whether it's in a hospital or anywhere, it's pure joy.
Leslie Carrera Rudolph puppeteers and performs Abby Cadabby on Sesame Street. Ben Lehman is the current executive producer. Here's to another 50 years, you guys.
Hear, hear. Thank you.